In your bulletin, there should be an insert, a couple of inserts. One we'll do at the end of the message, and we're just going to run through it real quickly because I want to use it a little bit more as a home Bible study maybe. But I came across some good things that we could share this morning concerning what we're dealing with. But in your bulletin is an article there on praying the Word of God. And I'll tell you something, folks. There is something about praying the Word of God. There's something about what we call reminding God of His Word. It doesn't mean God ever forgot what He said, right? God does not forget what He has spoken. And every word of His stands sure and is steadfast, and it does not fade away. But when we say remind God of His Word, we're simply praying the Word of God and coming into agreement with what He has spoken. And that's what God loves for us to do. And so this article is a little bit about that. But I would encourage you to learn how to pray the Word of God in your prayers. Use Scripture and use the Word of God when it comes into alignment with what you're praying for, because it is so powerful. It really is, and it's just a good way to pray. But anyway, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about this issue. Of course, we know that as we just participated in, this day is a national day of prayer regarding the coronavirus and praying for responders and all those. And folks, we can take this virus seriously, okay? And we ought to, just like when the flu is going around, you take some extra precaution and maybe you take some Purell or whatever that's called with you, and you know, you maybe wipe your hands a little more often and you just have a little more consciousness to it. But you know, it's along those lines. We want to take this seriously enough that we are concerned for one another. But here's the other side. We should not take it out of proportion, okay? In other words, what I'm asking is that we have balance in this, that we don't take it out of proportion and buy into the hysteria that's going on in our nation that is increasing. There ought not to be any such thing as a hysterical Christian, unless you're laughing about something hysterically, okay? But we ought to have balance in our lives where we don't buy into any hysteria, no matter how bad things get. If the stock market were to completely crash, Christians should not be hysterical about a stock market crash. We should not buy into it or accept into our own hearts the hysteria that takes place, okay? Right now, the hysteria is everybody doing toilet paper runs, okay? Getting to the stores to try to buy up the last few bags or packages of toilet paper, and this particular virus does not affect the intestinal tract. Okay, this is a respiratory viral thing, but as soon as something happens, what happens? People get hysterical. People move into this hysteria, and it doesn't make it any better that news outlets will cause that, that they will feed you with a hysteria. And so, you know, we just have to have some balance in this, okay? We have to get beyond the irrationality that's setting in our nation, okay? Greg Laurie said this: Christians should be practical, prayerful, and should proclaim Christ peace in an atmosphere of fear. Okay? The three things he said: we should be practical, we should be prayerful, and we should proclaim Christ. And those are three basics that we ought to think about in this time. As we prayed in just a moment ago, this is an opportunity for the church to exhibit its faith. This is an opportunity for you to show others in this valley that you are not buying into the fear because you have faith. That you trust in a God who knows you personally. You trust in a God who knows the situation. How many of you know this didn't surprise God? The Bible says God neither sleeps nor slumbers, so He didn't even wake up and say, "I didn't know this happened." God knows. This did not surprise God. And we ought to be sharing our faith and letting people know that our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. And so that's why he brought this out. We can be practical. Okay? We can be practical, we can be prayerful, and we should proclaim Christ with every opportunity we have. And here's one of the key, folks. Lance Wallnau brought this up. I was listening to him yesterday, and he was sharing this, and I thought this was really good, and I thought, I got to share this. We ought to be thankful people. And you're wondering, what does thankfulness have to do with a coronavirus? Does that mean we give God thanks for the coronavirus? No, not necessarily. But we ought to be thankful people. So let me ask you this morning, how many of you are thankful today? Okay, we ought to be thankful, right? That ought to be a mark, an earmark of the Christian, of the believer. So why should we be thankful? Because spirits have been loosed to steal, among other things, the thankfulness that we ought to express to God every day. There are spirits that are let loose. They come out when things like this take place, when something like this begins to surface up into the natural. The spirits will grab hold of this and try to do things in people's minds and hearts. And one of the things that people lose is their thankfulness. And if you're not sure of that, just ask somebody who's invested in the stock market and has lost a few thousand dollars or maybe a lot of thousand dollars and ask them if you're still thankful. If they say, I'm not as thankful as I was before, then the thankfulness is not based in God. But if the stock market again were to crash, we ought to still be thankful because we can lose everything we have, but we will not lose our God. Amen. We will not lose if we maintain our faith. And so that's what's happening, you know, today. We see the spirits that are being loosed to steal even our thankfulness. You know, we're not saying we're thankful for the coronavirus. We pray against it, right? We pray against the virus, but there is a stirring up of discontent and fear and distress in our nation and in our communities. And we can combat this stirring up of discontent and fear and distress by being thankful. Just saying, God, I want to be thankful to you. I thank you and start thanking him for the things that he's done in your life. Okay? One of the last day's sins that is going to take place is really unthankfulness towards God. Not being thankful, okay? So God tells us to give thanks in everything, right? We're to give thanks in everything, in all situations, and in all circumstances. Now, why does God say we are to give him thanks? How does this apply to the coronavirus? Let me put it this way. When we give God thanks in a situation, God is enthroned over the situation. When we give God thanks in a situation, we are enthroning God by our thankfulness over the situation because he is being recognized in that situation as God over the situation. So if we are thankful now in the situation, in this pandemic that it's been declared, if we are thankfulness in it, then we are saying, God, we invite you to be over it. And that's where God needs to be. God needs to be over it in our hearts and in our minds that he is first and foremost. And in this pandemic, we are trusting in our God. And God is recognized over this situation. He's being recognized in it, and it puts him over it. Isn't that good? Let me give you an example of this with the first Passover that took place in Egypt. When the children of Israel were being delivered, the last plague was going to be the death of the firstborn. And so God instructed them to take a lamb. They were going to have the Passover. And this was a powerful thing, folks. They did two things. They ate the lamb and they applied the blood to their doorways. Okay? They ate the lamb and they applied the blood to their doorways. So here are the two things we need to do. We need to get the word of God in us. Okay? Jesus is the lamb that was slain. We need to get the word in us, and we need to apply the blood over us and our families and our homes. So we do the very same thing, only we do it this side of the cross. We're applying the name of Jesus. We're taking in his word. We need to take in his word, but we also apply the blood of Jesus to ourselves, our families, our loved ones, to our loved ones here at the church, to our community. The blood of Jesus is still as powerful today as ever, right? And so we have to rely on that. Now, in Egypt, the plague that killed the firstborn did not come near their homes. When they applied the blood, it didn't come near their homes. Now, In this message, I've looked at others, what others have been saying on national levels and things to get a better picture of what the church is responding to. So I've looked at things that Ed Stetzer has talked about. I shared with you some of the things Lance Wallnau has spoken about, Greg Laurie that I shared, and others, just to see what is the body of Christ saying on this national level. And I want to share some of these things. Now, let me just give you a disclaimer right now. I'm not a healthcare expert, okay? I'm not a healthcare expert. I'm just responding to the issue at hand. As your pastor, I do want to share with you some things. I do want to give you some information and encourage you in the Lord. So the best I can, with the help of the Lord, I want to share with you some of these things, okay? Now, we do have a confirmed case in the Valley. We know that. That took place in Pima. There's a potential exposure there. Don't know what the ramifications are going to be, but we know that there is a case in the Valley. And that leads to even more hysteria. Toilet paper was empty on their shelves. It was gone off the shelves before that was even before it was even discovered. Okay? So all these things were happening, okay? One person was taken to a hospital in another state for a fight that broke out in the store over supplies. He was actually carried out on a gurney, on a stretcher. He was taken out of the store because of the hysteria that's going on. This is what's happening in our nation, okay? Now, I'm not saying there is no concern over this viral breakout. I'm not saying that, but neither am I saying we need to head for the hills, okay? We don't need to head for the hills. We need to trust God. And we need to share and exhibit our faith. Now, we know the basics. It broke out in Wuhan, China. Okay? That was kind of where the epicenter was in this. Late last year, in December of last year, nothing was said for about 30 days. Okay? And that's what allowed it to really have an impact beyond China. It's having a global impact right now. It's a respiratory virus, somewhat like a pneumonia. That impacts the respiratory system, and it has flu-like symptoms. We know it affects the elderly and those with infirmities more than others. Okay, we know it has little effect on children unless they have infirmities, unless they have weak respiratory systems. But basically, they're saying children go right through it, okay, for the most part, okay? People under 60 are recovering well, and overall, they're recovering. I missed that by about a year, okay? The World Health Organization declared it a public emergency and of international concern. And, of course, President Trump declared it a national emergency to release funds to combat it. So all these funds are being released. All these things are just happening as a nation. We're looking at this picture and say, okay, what's going on? Friday, I believe it was Friday, I participated in a statewide video conference that was made available. And it was specifically related to churches and government entities that have gatherings, group gatherings, you know, committee gatherings and all that. And so I got on there and was listening to it and was giving us all the information, giving us the basics of health concerns and all that. And I was waiting to hear what they were going to say to churches. And their bottom line was, wash your hands often, use hand cleaners when possible, cover your cough, your sneezes with tissue or your arm, not your hands. Giving us the basics of it. If you feel ill, if you have a fever, stay at home. If you don't get better, go to the hospital, see your doctor. So it's giving us all the things we've heard already, you know, on the news every single day, maybe every hour of every day, okay? Now, as far as giving churches advice or specific instructions, the conference speaker said that they're leaving it up to local health officials. They're leaving it up to local counties and communities for them to decide how they want to approach it. So after sitting there for a half hour, 40 minutes, however long it was, they say, we don't got any information for you. Okay? We're not going to tell you what we think you should do. Basically, they said, talk to your local officials. So now we wait for our local officials to see what they're going to say. Okay? This is how it's being addressed on a statewide level, going back to the local level. Now, in our board meeting yesterday, we discussed this, and we talked about how do we respond in the best interest of the congregation. We had a three-hour board meeting yesterday. It was a good board meeting. I just loved it. It was great. You know, we have some good members on the board that are really concerned, and I mean, they care for you folks, and they want to do their best for the church. And so we discussed it, and uh, we we, you know, came into agreement that we're going to continue to meet. We're going to keep the doors open, but we also have to listen to our government officials, and we have to have some kind of a balance of how we're going to approach this. Okay, so at the same time, we're exercising our faith. We have to respond in measures to our government officials and what they might be saying. The last I heard was that the health department here was not telling churches not to meet, but they were encouraging churches to think about whether they want to meet or not, and maybe limit the amount of people that come in. I know large churches of, you know, well over 1,000 were limiting some of their multi-services to about 250 people. That's because they have larger, you know, auditoriums. So these are some of the things that are going on, but where do we go from here? Okay, those are just some of the nuts and bolts of this thing. You know, we do have somewhere we can go for help, right? That's the Word of God. We can go to the Word of God to give us some balance, to give us some wisdom, to give us some understanding, to give us some instruction on what we do, what we're to do. So for us, it's not what or how much we save or hoard, okay? If you have 15 back packages of toilet paper out there, you might want to have a yard sale and let some of them go, okay? I'm just saying. One lady actually made a mistake, and she published this. She said, I meant to order one package of 48-count toilet paper, but I ended up ordering 48 packages of 48-count toilet paper. So she came in the, you know, the delivery truck came 48 packages of 48 toilet paper. So what she said, I'm now selling them for the same price I paid. So she was thinking about other people. She wasn't buying into the extreme, you know, hyper, you know, sensitivity of this situation, and was saying, listen, I'm just making normal preparations, and I don't want to be overboard on this, so if I can help anybody out, you know, here we go. So those are just some things that are kind of going on, but we can go to the Word of God, okay? It's not even an issue of our physical health alone. Yes, we want to be concerned about health issues. We want to be concerned about, you know, people getting the virus and how we can be healthy and whole ourselves. But listen, folks, we must have a spiritual mindset and a spiritual response. We must not relegate this to the natural. We must not just have a natural mindset and a natural response. Where is God in all this? Where is our faith in all of this? So we need to balance this with a spiritual mindset and a spiritual response. We have to look beyond the natural. Okay, let's look this morning a little bit beyond the natural, beyond news releases and beyond your favorite news channel source, beyond all those things. Let's look beyond that, okay? Because the Word of God can give us balance. The Word of God can give us a balanced approach to what's going on right now. And that's what we need, folks. We need a balance. This city needs a balanced approach. Our nation needs to get to a balanced approach, okay? Not the hysteria that's going on. Not just in people's minds and in stores, but in people's hearts. Hysteria is setting in. And so we want to calm you. We want to calm you and put your trust back, help you put your trust back in God. Things like this reveal people's hearts conditions. Things like this really begin to reveal people's heart conditions, okay? What are they trusting in? Who are they trusting in? These are things that are being revealed through all of this. Now, Psalm 20, verse 7 says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we, okay, some out there, some of them, basically, is kind of the context of this. Some of them trust in chariots and some of them trust in horses, but we. You see, there must be a difference between them and us. Right now, in this situation with this coronavirus going on, there must be a difference that can be seen between them and us. And so some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will. Not might. We're not going to think about it. It says we will. And it says, what will we do? We will remember. Don't forget your God. In all of this, do not forget your God. It says we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's foundational for us, folks. Whether it's a coronavirus or whether it's the stock market going crazy, whether it's some other issue that this nation or a city might face, we must always remember the Lord our God in everything. He is our stabilizing factor, is he not? Other people put it this way. Some trust in their financial portfolio and some in their health status. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. You might get into a conversation with someone and they're running fearfully because their investments in the stock market have gone way down. And so all they can do is tell you about how much they're losing and what's going on. And do I get out of the stock market? Do I stay in the stock market? Some are saying stay in, it's going to get better. Others saying get out while you can. And they're just running afraid. At that moment, you need to show them that you trust in the name of the Lord your God. That's a perfect moment for you to say, I'm trusting in God right now. It's just a perfect time, folks. You see, fear is gripping people's hearts, but God is not, like I said earlier, surprised by this viral outbreak. Amen. God is not surprised, and he's not disinterested in our fears either. He's not taking just a shoulder shrug at us and saying, well, don't worry about it. God is interested in our situation. But listen, folks, he's not disinterested in our fears, but he does want to calm our fears, and he wants to fill us with peace in the midst of our fears, in the midst of all this. Again, Psalm 27:1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then he says this, whom shall I fear? And if I could put it this way, what shall I fear? Whether it's a who or a what, if the Lord is my light and my salvation, if the Lord is your light and your salvation, then who or what should you fear? So is he your light? Is he your salvation? Do you fear anything this morning? That's where we need to be, okay? So how we respond, folks, in perilous times gives us an opportunity to grow ourselves, as well as be a witness to our community. This is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. Did you know that? It's an opportunity for us to respond spiritually. It's an opportunity for us to respond according to the Word of God. It's an opportunity for us to increase our faith and trust in God. It's an opportunity for us to share our faith with those who fear right now. It's a perfect opportunity, okay? It gives us that opportunity. We trust in God. We're strong in our faith, okay? Lyman Stone said this, the Christian ethic is a time in a time of plague considers that our life must always be regarded as less important than that of their neighbors. Now think about what he said, okay? In these times, do we look to ourselves first? In times like this, do we just say, well, it's all about me right now? It's all about me and mine. Let me read it again. He said, the Christian ethic in a time of plague considers that our own life must always be regarded as less important than that of our neighbor. It's a time for us to show concern and care for other people. Okay? It doesn't mean we ignore the warnings. It doesn't mean we belittle others' fears. It doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean we respond with care and compassion. A perfect opportunity for us to share care and compassion with those who are in fear. It means we don't run like everyone else. We do not run. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, don't run. Okay, we don't run like everyone else. It means we stand firm in our faith. Do you have a faith this morning? Then you must stand firm in your faith. Having done all, stand. If I can put it this way, having bought your toilet paper, stand. Having bought your canned goods, stand. Okay, whatever it is, but stand. So we ought to stand in this time. It means we take practical steps to ensure our best health, right? We don't go crazy and do dumb things. We ensure our best health. But it also means we take spiritual steps to let our light shine in the chaos and fear. We must let our light shine. These are things we must do. Again, Layman, he wrote of the plague that hit the second century, in the second century. He wrote about this plague that hit, and it possibly killed about a quarter of the Roman Empire. This was in the second century. A huge plague broke out, killed an estimated quarter of the population of the entire Roman Empire. Okay? Now, here's the thing about it. When it did this, it led to the spread of Christianity. The plague itself led to the spread of Christianity in the Roman Empire. Because Christians cared for the sick, They offered a spiritual model for unbelievers. That's what is known about the plague that hit the Roman Empire in the second century. When everybody was running, the Christian was standing. When everybody was thinking about themselves, the Christian was thinking about others. And they portrayed a model to unbelievers of what Christianity is really all about. That's a powerful statement, folks. Let me give you another, some more examples. Rodney Stark gave this example. Another plague hit in AD 251. It swept the Roman Empire. The population was being decimated. And around 9 years later, 260, Dionysius wrote a tribute. Listen to this. He wrote a tribute to the Christians of their response again. He said this: pagans tended to flee the cities during plagues, but Christians were more likely to stay and minister to the suffering. Christians were more likely to stay and minister to the suffering. Dionysius also wrote this: most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Needless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their very need, their every need, and ministering to them in Christ. Now listen to this: and with them departed this life serenely happy. What is that saying? That's saying these Christians once again stayed behind. They ministered to the sick at the expense of their own health. And many of the Christians who stayed behind even died while they were helping others in this time of plague. They were selfless. They exemplified the love of Christ. They exemplified the faith that they had. And they are forever remembered because of their willingness to live and walk out their faith. That's pretty powerful. Here's one that is a little more recent, or much recent. In the fall of 1793, yellow fever hit the city of Philadelphia. 1793. Historian Richard Newman wrote this: from the moment it began, the yellow fever epidemic was a public health crisis. Thousands of citizens fled. Hospitals became overwhelmed, and dead bodies rotted in homes. That was a result of this yellow fever. Now, during that time, the emerging black church under Richard Allen entered in to the situation. This was an emerging black church that stepped in under Richard Allen's leadership. Ed Stetzer wrote this: despite the overt racism that he faced, Allen modeled an empathetic approach to loving his neighbors. Allen and his fellow volunteers were heartbroken over the suffering of the sick. They resonated with those patients who had been cast out. Allen never lost sight of the truth. Those around him were lost and needed Jesus. Folks, we must not ever lose sight of that those around us are lost and need Jesus. They might be sick, they might be fearful of this virus, but they're still lost and they need Jesus. It says Allen's empathy informed his witness. His empathy informed his witness, and it's one reason why the AME grew and his name is remembered today, because of the faith that he exemplified. Let me read to you Matthew 25, 35 through 40. Jesus is saying this. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." All these are actions taken by a believer, actions taken by those who call themselves saints, call themselves Christians, call themselves believers in God. These are all actions taken. And then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you?" And then he says, "I'll answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren," he said, "you've done it to me." And so when we think about the people today, and we do our best to try to minister to our community through our faith, we need to remember that we're doing it for Jesus' sake. And Jesus says, "You're doing it like you're doing it to me." Now, Let me close with this. I want you to take out in your bulletin, there should be a half page there that I just want you to write these down. I'm just going to give you this for you to fill out. And this is something that you can actually take home and look at, maybe study it and just really see. But really, this is about dismantling the spirits behind the coronavirus. Because like I said earlier, every time something happens in a nation, in a city, in the world, it allows the release of demonic spirits to come out and to attach itself and create the fear and use that fear to attach themselves to people's lives. So today I want to give you this, dismantling the spirits behind this whole issue. They've attached to it, okay? So we're just going to run through this. This is from Intercessors for America, and to me it was just powerful as I went through it and looked at it, and I just want to share it for your own information. Number one, in the natural, there is panic. Okay? In the natural, there is panic. The spirit behind it is a perverse spirit that distorts the truth. Behind a panic situation is a perverse spirit that will distort the truth. But God's word says God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. And the scripture for that is Luke 21:15. Luke 21:15. Number two, in the natural, there is mysterious origins. In the beginning, this wasn't known exactly where it came from. And so there was a mystery behind it in the beginning. So in the natural, there are mysterious origins. Okay? The spirit behind it is a spirit of confusion, causing confusion in people's minds. God's word says that God shines light in the darkness. God shines light in the darkness. The scripture is Luke 12:2. In the natural, number three is sickness. People are getting sick. They're getting ill. So in the natural, there's sickness. The spirit behind it is a spirit of infirmity. It's pretty common. It's pretty obvious. It's a spirit of infirmity. But God's word says that God is our healer. God is our healer. Is he our healer today? Is he your healer today? He's our healer. The scripture for that is Proverbs 3:7-8. Number four, in the natural, there's hoarding. How many of you know people are hoarding today? I mean, people are gathering all they can. Okay, and that's fear-based. That's beyond the natural. Okay, so in the natural, there's hoarding. The spirit behind it is a spirit of greed. There's a spirit of greed that latches on. That's why that person was sent to the hospital while he was shopping, because the spirit of greed said, I'm going to get it and you're not. So there's a spirit of greed, but God's word says God is generous. Folks, God is a generous God. He's a giving God. All these things are who God is. You see, we're to follow his lead. We're to be generous as well. That's 2 Corinthians 9:8. Number five, in the natural, there's deception. In all of this, folks, don't be surprised that there's also deception, especially in our government. Okay? And I won't go any further with that. But in the natural, there's deception. The spirit behind it is the spirit of lying. Folks, I'm telling you, there is a spirit of lying that has been sent out with this coronavirus that are manipulating minds and are manipulating hearts and getting us to believe lies. And so with this coronavirus, there is that deception. It's a spirit of lying. But God's word says God is truth. He is truth. John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free, not deception, not a lie. Number six, in the natural, it's an epidemic. Okay? It's an epidemic in the natural. The spirit behind it is a spirit of insecurity. There is a spirit of insecurity that attaches to an epidemic. God's word says that God is our protector. And you can read the entire Psalm 91 for that. I really wanted to get into that, but we just don't have time. But Psalm 91 is a powerful psalm for you to read that will help you in any insecurities you might have. Number seven, in the natural, power and control. In the natural, there's power and control. And the spirit behind it, of course, is a spirit of control. And I want you to know there are people out there and there are spirits out there that are wanting to control you. And if they can take any sense of control we have over our own lives, we very rarely get it back. And so there's this spirit of control that takes over. God's word says that God is supreme. God is supreme. He's the one that's in control. Can you say this morning, God is in control? The virus isn't in control. Okay, these spirits are not in control. God is in control, and he ought to be in control of every believer and every believer's mind and heart. God is in control. He is supreme. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Number 8, in the natural, financial insecurity. Financial insecurity. The spirit behind it is a spirit of poverty. A spirit of poverty. But God's word says God is our provider. How many believe God is your provider this morning? He is your provider. And so you can fight this spirit that comes against us of financial insecurity and poverty by saying, no, my God is a provider. Philippians 4:19. Number 9, in the natural, there's chaos and disorder. In the natural, chaos and disorder. And we see that in our news briefings. The spirit behind it is the spirit of chaos. Wanting to bring chaos into our lives, chaos into our cities, chaos into our government, chaos in every aspect of our lives. But God's word says God is peace. God is peace. He'll guard our hearts and minds, will he not? 1 Corinthians 14:33. This also applies to number 2, the same scripture. Number 10, in the natural, there's blame. Okay? The news media were saying this is the Wuhan virus that's come out, and now China's saying, no, we got it from the U.S. Now there's this blame game going around. China's saying, no, they brought it here, and it opened up. It started in Wuhan, but it's because they brought it here. And we're saying, no, it started in Wuhan, and it went out from there. And now there's this blame, and everybody's blaming everybody. Now Congress is blaming the president, and everybody else is blaming everybody else. All these things are happening. The spirit behind it is a divisive spirit. A divisive spirit, a spirit of division. God's word says God brings grace. He brings grace. Thank you, Lord. Jude 19 through 21. Number 11, in the natural, it's contagious. In the natural, we see that it is contagious. It spreads. Now, the spirit behind it is the spirit of isolation. The spirit of isolation, removing ourselves from others, removing ourselves from the church, removing ourselves from family. We're removing ourselves. Well, what do they call it now about the space you're supposed to stay away from each other? What is that called? Social distancing. We're to social distance ourselves from one another. Folks, we've already done that with text messaging and with the Facebook and everything else. We're already socially distant from one another. This is causing a physical social distancing now. And so it's a spirit of isolation. But to combat that, God's word says that God is our loving Father. Why does that combat it? Because Father represents family. Father is a father because there's a family. And so we recognize that God is our Heavenly Father. That's who we need to be trusting in, 1 John 3:1. And the last one is in the natural, there's fear. Fear everywhere. The spirit behind it, of course, is a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. But God's word says this, and I love it. God is trustworthy. Yes. Do you believe God is trustworthy this morning? Can he be trusted? Can you trust him during this time? Can you trust him when the virus is spreading? Can you trust him now that the virus has hit Graham County? Can you trust him now that there's a potential for spread? Can you trust him? God is able to be trusted. He is trustworthy, meaning he is worthy of your trust. You know what that means? That means God has earned your trust. God has earned your trust by what he has done for you, by all the promises he has fulfilled, by everything in the Old Testament that led to the fulfillment in the New Testament. God says, I have proven that I am able to be trusted. And if there's nothing else we go away from here today with, knowing that we can trust God is enough. Hallelujah. We can trust God because he is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust this morning. Psalm 27:1. You can look that up. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Folks, this is a little thing that I just wanted you to be able to take home. Look up these scriptures again. Pray against these spirits that have been let loose in our culture, that have been let loose in our society, that is being loosed even in our own city. How many of these do you see here already? How many of these spirits do you see activating themselves in our very own climate, in our very own community? And it's time that we bring this before the Lord, and let's bring some wisdom into this. Let's bring faith into this. How many of you, let me ask again, how many of you are faith-filled this morning? All right, you're faith-filled. You're going to walk it out. You're going to trust God. You're going to be wise, okay? You're going to walk in wisdom. Look at your neighbor and say, wash your hands, please. Okay? Practical things, okay? Use Purell or whatever those cleaning things are that you squirt into your hand, okay? One of the things they said is drinking water every 15 minutes. Another one said drinking water with a little bit of salt in it every 15 minutes. They said this has helped in China to bring it under control because it says every 15 minutes if you drink water, it flushes any virus that might be in your throat or in your mouth, washes it down into your stomach so that your stomach acids would kill it. Salt is also a cleanser, a purifier, antiseptic. It also hits it and kills it. So keep water with you. You know, be practical. Okay, be wise. Don't be foolish. Don't buy into the hysteria. Express your faith, share your faith, live your faith. Don't be afraid to pray for people. Okay? What happened with Paul? Snake bit him on his arm. What did he do? Oh no, oh no, oh no, God, I'm going to die. He said, well, shook it off. Shook it off. Don't let things grab a hold of you. Shake them off. Shake them off and trust the Lord. Everybody do this right now. Just start shaking off your fear. Shake off your questions. Shake off the chaos. Okay? Shake off the chaos. Okay? Okay? We just shake them off. The bottom line, let's trust the Lord. Amen. There's so much that we could have shared this morning. There's just not time to do it. But these are some of the things that just felt like we could share with you. Try to speak into this a little bit, into your life. But I pray, if nothing else, that these 12 things are revealing spirits that are attaching to this virus to create the chaos and everything would help you this morning, would help you bring some balance into it. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. It is so good to know Jesus as my Savior. So good to know that He is my God. Faith conquers fear. Faith conquers fear. I want you to know that if I ever get called to the hospital because somebody came down with it and wants me to go pray for them, I'm going to go pray for them. If they'll let me in, I'll go pray for them. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know what limitations they're going to give on, you know, on this because I know, you know, it's infectious and all that. But if I can't go in and pray, I'll go to their window and pray. You know, whatever it is. But let's not get wrapped up in fear that we shrink back and we pull our faith out of the picture. This community needs to know that the church is strong and we have faith to believe. So be an example. Amen? Be an example. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. Father, as we just deal with this today in a very practical way and also in a spiritual way, Father, I pray that we would not allow our hearts to be gripped with fear. I pray, God, that we would be practical, that we would be wise. Your word tells us that we're to be wise as serpents in a world that we live in. But Father, neither should we buy in to the fear. Neither should we run to the hills. Father, we should be those who would stand tall in this community and give encouragement and express our faith when others give us the opportunity. So, Father, I pray that we would do this very thing in this community, that we would help, Father, to be those that would calm the fears, not add to it. And, Father, I do pray for everyone who is not here this morning, and I know several of them are ill. Father, we pray for Marlene, who's in the hospital right now in Sierra Vista. We pray, God, that you would heal her heart. We pray, God, that you would heal her in her physical body. We pray, God, that her chemicals in her body would come back to the right function. We pray, God, that you would preserve life. We pray, God, that you would strengthen her. And so we bless her, Father, but we pray for all others, God, in our fellowship. We pray for our brother Al as he continues to recover. We ask you, God, in Jesus' name to strengthen his body and speed up the healing process, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that you do this quickly in his life. We lift brother Al to you, and we pray, God, for his healing and his wholeness. We pray, Father, for the children that are ill in our fellowship. We pray for the adults, God, and we just ask you that you'd bring health and wholeness to the body. We pray you encourage them, Father, this morning, that fear would not strike them, God, but they would put their faith and their trust in the name of the Lord their God. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the church rising up and giving the opportunity, Father, on a national level, on a national platform, to pray for this. Now, God, would you respond from heaven? Would you respond from heaven, God? And would you show this nation that there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer? And God, I pray that they would see this, Father, manifest throughout this land, north, south, east, and west. God, we pray this morning that there will be a manifestation of your healing power, of your staying power, God, that the virus would be stayed and that healing would take place. Father, we pray these things and ask you, God, to show your glory. Show your glory, God, as we walk in our faith. And God, we'll give you the praise for it. We honor you, we love you, we praise you today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. He's worthy. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You have a great day today. Walk out in your faith. Be strong in the Lord in Jesus' name.